So our scripture this morning is from John chapter 15, beginning with verse 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that there may be joy in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I've made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. And so, some ways, the end of that is more important than the beginning, because it's important for us to know that Jesus chose us and that God makes this offer for his love available to all of us. Now, we can choose whether we accept it or not, but it's there. And so what I want to talk about is how he talked about love and how we love each other. And so the first thing he talked about was joy. Now, I also think of joy as happiness. And so I always remember one time someone told me, you can't make happy. You can't make yourself happy. And so if you're trying to do things to make yourself happy, which I think is what we see a lot in the world right now, because people think they have to do this or do that or buy this or have the biggest house or the biggest boat or the three biggest cars, whatever it is, they're trying to make themselves happy, joyful, but they can't do it with stuff. And so when I was reading the commentary, it talked about that joy or happiness comes from doing the right thing. And I would tell you that one of the right things is finding that relationship with the Lord and letting that be how you're led. Because it's important for us to remember that we've all been sinners, and with God's love, we've been redeemed. So then he talks about being chosen for love and sent to love one another. And so this part's hard because sometimes our neighbors aren't as nice as us. And sometimes we're supposed to love our enemies, and the reason that we think they're our enemy is because we've either done something to them to make them mad, they've done something to us, but we let our own personal stuff get in the way of this love that God talks about here. There's been a lot of love talk today about moms. I'm still pretty lucky. My mom still plays golf. She's 92. I'm going to ask her today when I see her. There's a parent golf tournament in June. I'm going to ask her if she wants to play. Every year we've played like 4 or 5 years, and every year we play, I'm wondering if it's going to be the last time that we can play in this. The middle daughter last time made the three girls and I all had take a picture with her, and I said, what is the big deal here? She goes, I don't know that we're all going to be together again like this. Okay. And so that's that love. And I would guess if you talked to my mom, she would tell you that I wasn't always the best child. I always thought I was, but she would probably say that's not true. But that love that we share, especially on this Mother's Day, if you have that kind of loving relationship or your kids have that relationship with you, just be excited for that. And when he talks about love, he talks about you love someone so much that you would lay down your life for them, as God laid down his son for us. And that's what real true love is. And so then he talked about calling friends. Now sometimes when they do translations, I think we miss what the real term is here. And so when I looked this up, friends in another version, it really said loved ones. Now the problem with this generation is that friends mean something different than it used to. And so I was speaking at a Ball State class about 3 years ago, and it was marketing class. And I told them that, you know, the way things are changing, I'm not sure how you guys are going to do marketing, because for me, marketing is about relationships. And I don't know that you guys care about relationships. You don't have friends like that. And this one girl said, well, I have lots of friends. I said, okay, how many do you have? She said, 450. And I said, so when you say friends, are you saying people on Facebook with you? And she goes, yes, they're all my friends. And I said, I know that I'm a lot older than you, but I don't really consider those friends. Well, why not? Okay, here's an example. I had a heart attack. I needed my yard mowed. Could you call one of them and say, hey, I want you to come over and mow my yard? And she said, well, of course not. I said, okay, I have a friend who I think is my best friend. If I would call him, in fact, I didn't have to call him. He called me and said, hey, I know your wife probably can't mow the yard. Do you want me to come over and mow it? That's a friend. Okay. Now, he and I happened to play golf yesterday together. And part of being a really close friend with somebody is you get to give them a hard time because you both know it's going to happen. And so I don't know how many times he's played golf this year. Let's just say he wasn't playing very well. Now, how many of you know anything about golf at all? Okay, the rest of you can explain this to them when I tell this story. He was playing so bad, we weren't keeping score. But what I did start counting was how many times when he drove the ball, he got past the ladies' tee. And the correct answer at the end of the 18 holes was 11 times he got past the ladies' tees, 7 times he did not. And it could have really been 10 and 8 because one shot he hit the woman's tee and came back, but I let him hit another one and then he went past. So it depends on your point of view. But when we were done, he said, I so much enjoyed today. And I said, you did? He goes, yes. He said, I love to come and play 18 holes with you and get harangued the whole entire time. And so when we talk about this friends, it's not Facebook friends, it's real friends. You want to have God's relationship, Jesus' relationship with you, like Mike and I, because we harangue each other equally. And so any chance he can get to ding me, he will. Just yesterday, he didn't have very many chances. He really liked it when I started keeping track of how many times he was getting past the women's tee. But it's that kind of a friend, not a Facebook friend. And then he calls about us being partners. Well, I think a lot of times when we think of partnership, we would think of partnership in terms of we're going to share things and do things equally. And this partnership it's kind of one-sided, because what's supposed to happen in this partnership is that we will hear God's voice through Jesus, and we will do his will. So instead of saying, well, you know, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you, and that kind of stuff, we're not doing that. We are bending ourselves to what Jesus wants us all to do. Now, how many of you are going to go out and eat lunch today? Okay, so here's a perfect opportunity for you. We are all ambassadors for what a Christian is. We are a billboard, a YouTube ad, whatever you want to say. When we're out amongst people, we are an advertisement. Be a good one, okay? So I think I've told you guys this before. Servers know that on Sunday, when Christian people come to eat in their restaurant, they are the worst givers, tippers in the whole entire world. So don't be, okay? It's okay to give extra. So my wife was looking at our bills the other day, and she said, you know, I'm looking at what you're tipping. And she said, you're tipping about 35% all the time. And I said, you know what? Almost all these people either were underemployed or unemployed for some length of time because the restaurant either was only doing carry out or it wasn't getting very many people in. And I said, I'm just going to assume that all these people have suffered a little bit. And so when they talk about the pandemic, it did not affect everybody equally, because Benina and I are both retired. Except for not spending money, it really didn't change our lives any. Except it was a little harder to go do things and see people. And I said, if you worked in a restaurant, your life was changed, because you did not work, you did not earn the money that you would have normally earned, because either it was closed or you weren't coming in. So it's a perfect opportunity to show how much Christian love that you have for people that may or may not know that same love. And so be overly generous. And so for us to spread that Christianity, we have to have that Christian love in all of us. And so the last part he talked about in here was this ability to be the family of God. And so when we talk about our own families, and they're not all going to look the same. They're all different. We have different kids, and kids are all different, I've noticed. Even though these three, I keep telling their mom and dad, they just took a picture of the oldest one, and then when he gets older, they get a new one, and then they tell the next one that was his picture when he was that age, because they all look the same. But kids are all different. And even the girls, you would say one thing to one, and they go, oh, okay. And the other one, you know, was going, well, I'm not doing that. Well, wait a minute, you guys were all raised the same, but all the families are different, but this one thing that we have in common is this family of God. We can all be part of the family in God. And so this really deals with prayer. And so when you pray, do you have faith in your belief? Is it based on belief? And so I give you a couple things to think about. If what you're praying for, would Jesus approve, you're probably good to go. Now, we had a revival one time at Yorktown. It's been a long time ago. And the pastor had a friend that lived in Atlanta, and he came in and did the revival. And he said something I've never heard anybody say before. And I still don't know why people would do this, but maybe he was right. And he said, do you want people to pray for you? And I said, yeah. And he said, what if they're not praying for you to do well? And I said, why would somebody do that? And he said, do you think that there's nobody in the world that would pray for something not good to happen to you? And I said, well, that's what I'd like to believe. Yeah, but I guess when you bring it up that way, maybe somebody would. And so this, would Jesus approve? Think about what you're praying for. And what are you really asking for? And so at the end, and one of the things I always try to make sure I do, is that sometimes when I pray for stuff, it is not the right stuff. I'm praying for what I want to happen. And although I may think that's the best for me, or for my family, or whoever I'm praying for, it may not be the best, because everybody has things you want. We all have prejudice. My prejudice might be for my family or friends that I want something good to happen, but maybe that's not what God's got in mind, and maybe that's not what's supposed to happen to them then. Because sometimes when things are bad, later on you find out, well, okay, yeah, that happened, but I would have never ended up here if that didn't happen. And so we don't always know what the best thing is, and so that's why I put in here, make it God's will, not ours. And sometimes that's hard, because sometimes it's someone that we really love and care for, and they're suffering or they're ill, and we want that to change, and we want God to change it, because we're not patient. We want it to change now, and that's not what's supposed to happen. And so make it God's will and not ours. And then the last thing that he talked about was prayer not for selfish reasons. And so I mention this periodically because apparently it really bothers me, but you have churches now that are saying if you give enough to the church or you give enough to whatever, then you'll get rewarded 50 times over with more stuff. Well, I think you can look around and we have plenty of stuff. The problem is we keep buying more stuff. And I know that's true because now that I'm home more during the week, I see how many times the Amazon truck comes down the road. And I don't know where they're going, but there's only 13 houses on my street, okay? So it's 1 in 13, unless he's totally lost, because it's a dead end. So he can only go down and come back, and he's gone long enough, I'm pretty sure he stopped and dropped something off. And so we want to make sure when we're praying to the Lord, it's not for us. It's for those friends, those loved ones we talked about, those people that we love. Sometimes it needs to be for our enemies because we're the problem. We need to pray for what we can do to change our attitude to where instead of being enemies, we can make them loved ones and friends. And so don't take for granted when you see someone that you really care for, that you don't tell them you love them. So last night, I went to, my wife's gone, she's in New Orleans. That means I get to take myself out to dinner wherever I wanna go. Last night it was Red Lobster, but that was only because the Outback was too full. And so I thought about a friend of mine, and her birthday is today. She died about 20 years ago. And really the last time that we ever had a very meaningful conversation, she and I went to dinner at Red Lobster, and I don't know why that jumped into my head. But I always really cared for her. And I think she knows that, but I didn't take the chance to tell her. And so about six, I knew she had been ill. She had cancer. And I ran into her accidentally at Emmons Auditorium, and we just spoke briefly, and she just didn't look very good. And I should have taken the chance to tell her how much she meant to me, and I didn't. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the scripture today, the message, the being there, all that just came to my mind. And so I would tell you, don't take that for granted, because we do not know whether it's us or the other person. If somebody means something to you, just tell them. Just tell them how much they mean to you and how much you care for them. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that we're able to come together. I sense a great deal of love in this room today. I want us to all take that out into your world and share it, whether it's a friend, a family member, an enemy, but to share that love with all those that we come in contact with. Be with us all as we go out into your world. Amen.